सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु कर्वावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति 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 ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् हरि ओम् सल्यूटेशन्स् टु आल् सो वी आर् सीयिङ्ग् डिफ्रेण्ट् टैप्स् आफ् साधनास् एण्ड् वी आर् गोयिङ्ग् फ्रोम् एक्स्टर्नल् टु इण्टर्नल् फ्रोम् ग्रासर् टु सटलर् साधनास् सो वन् साधना वी सा अबौट् लास्ट् वीक् वास् spiritual diary. Did anybody write a spiritual diary? You wrote? Very good. So that is journaling in general, which is good only. The spiritual diary was to measure those specific points. Those were only like these 16 points. Time of waking up, hours of sleep, first hour, exercise, all this, you know. These were only for us to understand our progress through the day. But you can measure anything else also. The idea of doing that was so that we are conscious and a certain discipline comes into our regular routine. And when we see those factors, when we have done them, we feel very good about it. Suppose exercise, out of 7 days, 5 days you have done, you feel so nice, Kiare, I could do 5 days. There's a feel good factor. And suppose one has not done enough japa, then one knows, mind is making us escape. It is taking it for granted, it doesn't want to do. You know, so one will become more alert. So today sadhana, again, since we are going from external to internal, see the purpose of spiritual diary was also to make us live consciously. Same way today sadhana also, some of you must have heard me in the talk, we will go more detailed into it. It is called IDNS. What is IDNS? Introspect. In the SIP talks I spoke about it. Detect, negate, substitute. This is a beautiful sadhana that Gurudev used to give. This is his formula, IDNS. Why is this needed? Because many times what happens to us, when we are going through something, at that time we are not fully aware. That time our mind is caught up in some emotion, some impulsiveness, some pressure of that particular situation, we are not fully aware at that time. Sadhana is to live consciously. Where I am aware at this moment now, what is happening, as much as I am in the now. Purpose of sadhana is to bring me fully into the now. So the more I am aware of the present moment, more alert I am, my choices will be better. This guy is gone. This sound, mein there is a humming, no? There is a hum. There is. There is a little bit of a hum that comes. So, while we are going through whatever it may be, an interaction, some emotion, some achievement, some whatever it may be, if we are alert at that moment what we are going through, then our choices are better, not impulsive, more intelligent, more in control. And so very important it is to have this introspection done. If you think about it, actually introspection is about what has happened through the day. So it is in retrospection. So ideally it should be intro retrospection, something like that. Or retro introspection, whatever it is. because it's not immediate, na? But the objective of that is to become alert now. Once I become alert, ki, oh, this is what I went through. Now I've learned my lesson from it. Next time when I'm appearing in the same situation, I am more in that moment. So the objective of it is to make me live more now. So introspection is done so that first aspect we will learn is this. So when we do introspection, one aspect is to become conscious of our motives. Main aspect is that. What are my motives? While I am going through something, what are my motives, my intentions? You know, whatever may be my attachments, I am not aware of it at that moment sometimes. And I just act. So I should become conscious of them. Through this whole process of introspection, detection, negation, substitution, I become more conscious. How will I do that? When I become one impartial observer of my day or events. I have to become an impartial observer. What is happening, I watch it as though I am a third party. Then I will be able to understand that, oh, this is why this reaction came. Because most of the time we are involved in that, so we are not able to see clearly. Like nowadays people use this in psychology, they use for the same thing they use. The word is cognitive diffusion. You can Google on the net, you will find this. Cognitive diffusion. So the example they give there is, you are like standing on the banks of a river and you are watching the river flow. Then you see the water which is flowing. You see some leaves have fallen. The leaves are flowing. They come in front of you. They pass. But you are watching them. You are detached from them. You are not inside the river. If you are inside the river, for you to watch the flow will not happen because you are getting carried away by the flow. You may see here and there some part of water if your neck is out, etc. But otherwise, watching the flow properly will not happen because one is involved in it. So this cognitive diffusion is very, very important. For any transformation to happen, and especially in spiritual field where we are trying to detach from who I am not, we are so closely, you know, identified with this personality, it is very difficult to detach from it. So introspection will help us to do that, to detach, to observe this as a third party. And that will be a big tool, a big help in this sadhana of negation. When we come to Vedanta sadhana, we will see that. When we say, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not the intellect, that negation cannot happen unless this detachment is there. Generally, we will justify, na? Any good things happen, our ego boosts up. Any negative things happen, we justify many times. We say, anybody in my position would have done the same thing. They would have done worse, Swamiji. I to still am better. Our mind justifies. So to stand apart has become very difficult. We give one advice and people don't take our advice, we feel hurt, no? I told my child to do this and he didn't listen to me. Arre, but child is having his own independence and thinking and reasoning, no? And that does not mean the child does not respect you, but we will take it personally. My child didn't listen to me means the child doesn't respect me anymore. Arre, child may still respect you and take a different decision. But I am not able to see that clearly because I am very attached, because my expectations, minds, emotions, all that is clouding it so much. Now I can't see clearly. If I step back and watch as a third party. So this introspection will help me to detach. And that's a preliminary step and very, very powerful and important one before we go on to even, you know, sadhanas like japa or nididhyasana or contemplation, etc. Because when we don't do this, we may say, I am not the body, mind, intellect, but the mind is still thinking as of itself as the jiva only. It doesn't work. So introspection is a very important aspect for that, to develop a certain space. And very interesting, I saw somewhere, you know, it will help us to develop that detachment also, where I can improve in a very objective way. Where I don't have to feel bad, guilty. So very interesting one concept was, for teenagers, it can apply to everybody actually, that you give your mental weakness a name. Suppose you are a very angry person. Means you are angry person means you have anger issues. You are not an angry person because anger is one thing that comes to in our mind. But we brand ourselves, I am very angry, I am very angry. So you say no. So you name it as anger. So you name that anger as Perry, let us say. Any name you can give. Ramu, Shamu, Ganga, whatever you want to give. Any name. Now every time anger comes, what do? You don't say, I am angry, I am bad. What do you say? Perry is angry. Acha, Perry is angry. What does that mean now? I am not Perry. Means I am not angry. Who am I? Suppose my name is whatever. You know, Milind. My name is Milind. Now Milind says, Perry is angry. So Milind has detached from Milind. Anger is there. Milind is able to watch anger, saying this Perry is angry. Then it becomes easy to control it. Because I am not blaming myself that I am an angry person. Then I have two problems. I have anger and then I have a low self-esteem about myself. If I say that anger is bad, I should not have been angry. That is one very simple way to detach from one's weakness. You name that as a separate entity, as a different person. Objectify it. Obviously, that does not mean that Perry is angry, I am not angry, so I can keep getting, Perry can keep getting angry. Hello. It is not like that. It is meant for a certain space to be developed. Which we can do by ourselves also when we say that, in Vedant we say the same thing. Now in Vedant we say, I am not angry, mind is going through anger, I am the witness of it, I am the Atma. But that is difficult for young people to go through. And they brand themselves, I am depressed, I am angry, I am frustrated, I am impulsive, I am this, I am that. Now you separate it. There is still an issue. You have to deal with it. But it is like a toothache. No, I have a toothache, I will go to a dentist, get it treated. I have a fever, I will go somewhere. I have some voice challenge, I will go to some voice specialist, I will get treated. I will not condemn myself for it. So that way, introspection is not self-condemnation. Introspection is not self-criticism. Introspection is not running down oneself. Please don't think that way because some people think that way. What are you doing? Introspection. At the end of introspection, how do you feel? Not good about myself, Swamiji. So many challenges, so many impurities are there. I am not a very great person. Arey, that is not the purpose of introspection at all. If introspection is done well, it's not bound to happen. You will see both positive and negative because you're introspecting the motives. No? And all your motives are not bad, right? And even if some motives are, it is a functional thing which I need to deal with. Even if it's a psychological challenge, I have to deal with it just like a toothache, I said. I as a person is much bigger than that particular impurity, right? You can do that with joy also. Actually, you can do that. Why? Because that's what we ultimately want, na? In Vedanta, we want that only, saying, I am not. This mind is going through up and down. Mind right now is happy, or Peri is happy. Right now, Peri is angry. I am not this. You can do that. But there specifically, that one particular negativity has been named Peri as anger. Suppose you say that you want to objectify yourself only as a third person who is Peri. Then Peri is going through everything, not me. Which is how great Mahatmas, they do the sadhana, you know, that one sadhana, what they do. The sadhana they do is, they will never use the word I. You try it, it's a fantastic sadhana to do. Papa Ramdas used to do that. Papa Ramdas will say, Ram will come, Ram will eat, Ram is laughing, Ram is talking. Somebody who is new will wonder which Ram he is talking about. Are he is talking about himself. He is not going to, he will never use the word I. So for him, that Ram is not I, is an entity. That Ram is doing all this. I am only observing this Ram. It's a superb sadhana to do. One small part of that is this, when we tell some people to handle their impurity. Otherwise, they can't separate themselves from the impurity and they go on beating themselves with it. Unless we separate, we can't change it. We are fully into it and it will pull us down. And same thing like joy also. It will not make us have that objectivity. I may lose sense of morality, balance, go overboard. That's what happens. I am not sure of that because I don't know the technical meaning of that altered ego, but it may be so. So maybe it's alter ego. As long as it doesn't become a means of escapism, that's all. Sometimes alter ego becomes a means of escapism and then they don't take responsibility for it. Saying, this is my alter ego who did, I didn't do. Arey, but that alter ego is your ego only, no? You only did. So as long as that does not happen, then it is that same. The objective is what? To separate ourselves from that particular emotion or that particular thing so that I don't define myself with that. So anger is in me, I am not angry. Basically that's what we want to arrive at. That also is possible. Yeah, that's also a good one. So you are watching yourself flowing in the river, basically, right?
But is that a sign of somewhere
No, that river example was only to say that you are standing apart and watching the river. But what you are saying is you are watching yourself in the river is a perfect analogy for introspection, because that's what we are doing in introspection. We are watching ourselves only going through it, na? So, one is actually ready. That's what introspection is. We are not, see, when we say Sakshi Bhav, no? That time what you are saying now, asking the question, that will apply. Because in Sakshi Bhav, it is, I am just not attached to entity at all. So, I am Atma. Whatever happens, it keeps happening. Here, I am actually observing my own motives while going through something. So there is a particular action that I am doing. I am identifying what were my motives and then detecting, then negating, so all that I am doing. Which is, for that, the example what you are giving is perfect. You are watching yourself flowing in the river. Sakshi Bhav is you are watching the flow. You are the observer. And what is the flow? Flow is the mind. All the thoughts and everything is the mind. And you are not bothered. You are not trying to identify any motive or detect any negativity or substitute. Nothing. You are just watching, standing and watching the water. So you are different from the water. Nothing happens to you. Water may be pure, great. Water may be impure, great. There is some leaf, great. No leaf, great. No problem at all. You are just watching. That is for last step. That is the Sakshi Bhav. Right now we are introspecting to get detachment. And why should I get detachment? That is to improve positively and remove or overcome certain weaknesses. So introspection is introspecting the motive. As I said, it is not fault finding. It is observing my motive through the day. So why should I assume that my motive will only be low? There will be lots of nice motives also. I would have helped somebody. I would have had a good thought. I would have been kind, compassionate, many things. Somewhere there would be some negativity also. Proportion will differ from person to person. Maybe in a particular day, see, it also helps us to become aware of our focus. That's another important point about introspection. Focus awareness will happen. Why? Because many times our focus is only on the negative. There will be 10 good things which would have happened in the day, but I will remember only one, which is a negative one. And so I will be beating myself up continuously for that. Introspection, when I do, I will become aware ki, okay, there are these 5 major things that happened today. What were my motives in these 5 major things? Oh, in this it was positive, it was nice. Oh, in this also it was very good, excellent. Maybe only one, but my focus is so much on that one that I am not even acknowledging the other 4. So my focus awareness will increase. So what is my focus upon? Because some people, they don't lack goodness. They are not focusing on their goodness. It happens typically, not to every one of us. I generally give that exercise. 10 equations are given. In that 2 are wrong, 8 are right. But the moment we show that, people will see only those 2 wrong. They are seeing the 10, but they will say, this is wrong, that is wrong. No problem even in identifying what is wrong. But what is my focus on? Do I say that there are 8 correct and then 2 wrong? Or do I say this is wrong, boss? So I have not even acknowledged that 8 are correct. Which is what we do with ourselves. As sadhaks, many times we beat ourselves tremendously up. No doubt sadhana is to be done. The steep path is there and it is not easy. And you know, we have to walk consistently and many times we fall. Many challenges are there. But it is still sadhana. We are walking a glorious path. How many are even walking the path? How many are even clear about that? Do I enjoy my sadhana or not? Do I like myself or not? This introspection will develop self-love very naturally. If I start seeing good things in me, I will love myself naturally. Who would ever taught us introspection, you tell me? Is education not supposed to teach us introspection? If it is only filling my head with some information that runs riot in my head, that education is no use. It is supposed to teach me introspection for me to identify. I may be taught moral values. I may be taught do this, don't do this. If you do this, you are a good person. If you do this, you are a bad person. All that one is taught. But nobody taught how to develop self-love, how to do introspection, how do I develop my self-esteem. Even that most fundamental thing, how does a person develop self-esteem? There is no conscious knowledge given about that. And so a lot of people have self-esteem issues, confidence issues. Why? Because we are seeing people around us and figuring out and then developing our self-esteem based on how they treat us. How we feel about some situation, we feel good, we don't feel good. Somehow we are doing trial and error and making our judgments about ourselves. One small child, he said, till I was 10 years old, I thought my name was stupid. Think. Because they kept on calling him, hey stupid, don't do this, hey stupid, don't do that, hey stupid, come here. Are, how is that self-esteem of that child, you think? So nobody teaches us how to develop self-esteem, how to see the goodness in me. And if that is not enough, then comparisons will happen. And if you are a second child or any third child, etc., then so you had it. Not that first child is not spared. First child also is spared because there will be some other child. Kaka ka beta, mama ka beta, somebody. Look at him and look at you. Are why, Baba? I am my individual. I am growing by myself. Why do you need to compare? But people will compare. So on one hand, I don't know how to develop my self-esteem. What are the factors I should consider for it? On the other hand, I am seeing that in society, okay, if you get good marks, people value you. If you get good admission in this thing, institution, they value you. If you become successful, if you have money, if you have fame, if you have this clothes, if you have that car. Now my whole self-esteem develops on this, saying if I have all this, then I'm a worthy person. And is that not a contradiction? Self-esteem means what? It has to come from self only. But it is coming today from anywhere else. So introspection will help me to develop self-love, self-esteem. And even if there are negative factors, Swamiji, how can I ever feel good about myself when there are so many negativities in me? Still I can feel good about myself because introspection made me aware of my negativities. That is the first step. Then I will be able to overcome it. Otherwise I don't know only. How long I would have been living like that without introspection and not being aware, and then my life may be going just carried away by this. No idea about it, no? So now I became aware. At the moment I become aware, I can treat it, I can come out of it. Because that is not my nature. Because it is not my nature, I can drop it. And that's why I feel not at ease when it is there. So introspection is actually, if I am doing introspection sincerely, I will develop love for myself. Because there is goodness in me. Exactly. Correct. That will boost up the self-esteem. Why do I have to evaluate myself only on certain parameters which society has set up? I as an individual, I am living, if I am doing my duties, that also is a great thing or not? What is so great about that? Wo to sab koi karte hain. That is our problem. What everybody is doing, we are taken for granted. What nobody else is doing, if I do, then I am great. Now that equation we have set in our mind. Why? Because we saw that happening. All of them are doing regular thing. This person became successful. He is number one. Nobody else is number one. You have to be number one. Then you are successful. Are Baba. Now, how many people can be successful, you tell me? In that, there's a limitation. Na? In one race, how many will come? Only one winner will be there. That means what? All the other people are useless or what? Somebody qualified to reach up to the Olympics, that itself is a fantastic achievement or not? Ab wo nahi mila number one to theek hai. Number two, number three also nahi mila to kya hua? They came up to that, no? But no, society remembers only first one. They don't remember second and third also. All this is conditioning put in our head. Who was the first person to go to the moon? You remember. Second person, nobody remembers. All those dialogues are there, no, in the head. They will push it in the head. Correct. Righteousness. Correct. So ultimately only success matters. Which path they took doesn't matter. All those are conditionings. And so somebody who is not so-called successful but following the path of dharma, if that person is clear, they will not have a problem. But if that person is not clear, then the person starts feeling lesser. Introspection clears many of these. See how many conditionings are there, na? When we say we become aware of our motives, it also means all this, our conditionings, motives, everything. Because what are the conditionings in my head? I only don't know from where they have come. They are just sitting there. And every day one judgment is being passed about me by those, because of those conditionings. So I should become alert and aware. So that's what introspection will do. And what has to be done in introspection? So four steps Gurudev said, right? So introspect is the first step. Till now what I spoke is introspection as a whole exercise. Now introspect is the first step. In that what do? We sit quietly, maybe 10 minutes in a day. Focus on the breath for the first few minutes. So that one is grounded, one is centered, one is relaxing the body also. Then what does one do? Gurudev used to say it is like a parade of thoughts. You don't have to bring them immediately one by one. You identify, let us say. So when do you do introspection? People generally say do it in the evening or night at the end of the day. If you want to do, if you feel up to it, do it at the end of the day. If you feel no, that is very tiring, difficult, do it in the morning or whenever you are fresh. Introspection must be done that way. Then what will happen? In that, allow the thoughts to flow. Where suppose I am doing it today evening, I ask myself, what were the major events in the day? I want to focus on those. So recall the major events. Now let them not come everything one by one. This happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. No. Okay, now this event happened. First event was this in today. Major event was this. When I am recalling that event, I am observing myself in that event as any other third person. So what do I have to do? So I am talking now, I'll take only one example of a major event, let us say. Then second step in that will be detect the motives, the conditionings. Why did I behave like this? Why did I speak like this? What was the motive behind it? Was it positive? Was it negative? Why? What was my intention behind it? I should identify those. When I detect a positive motive, congratulate yourself that this was good, very well done, excellent, I am proud of you, whatever you want to say. Feel good about it, feel happy about it. If you want to thank Bhagwan for it, thank Bhagwan, feel grateful for it. Congratulate yourself for it. Say, I feel happy about this, I am a good person. Whatever you want to say, that is up to you. Because you have detected a positive motive. If you detect a negative motive, first is accept it that this was wrong. Don't justify. Detection means I accept. Okay, I detected there's a negative. Actually, detection, when we do, when we say this is a negative one, we accept it as it is wrong. Then, do I want to change it or not? See, with the positive also, if I want to repeat it, then I can strengthen it saying this is a good quality, I would like to live this way or I would like this to go deeper in me. So you strengthen it. And a negative, one has to weaken it. So how do you weaken it? Once I accept this is not right, second step will be, am I willing to let it go? Am I willing to let it go? Because sometimes I am not willing to let go. It may be anything, lust, greed, anger, jealousy, intoxication, pride, anything. Because it is giving me some pleasure. I don't want to leave it. I know it is negative. It may be telling lies. It may be anything. Gossip. It gives some kick, some pleasure. Now I don't want to let it go. That is where it is. The third step will come. Is I should know to negate it. Means I should push myself to drop it, first of all. Because it's a negative thing. I need to convince myself. So if I am willing to let go of it, then negate will be the next step. I will come to that. If I am not willing to let go of it, I have to identify why I am not willing to let go. I will come to negating sometime. So if not willing, then why? Find out that. What is that pleasure I am deriving out of it? Or the need for it? Sometimes it may not be pleasure, it may be some compulsive need where I am scared. If I let go of this anger, people will take me for a ride. I am scared of it. So now I am not letting go of the anger. So I am being pushed by a certain conditioning in my head. If I forgive people, they will repeat the same thing to me again. Now, so I don't want to let go of the hurt and the pain that is associated with it. And so that pain is causing me to behave in a negative way. But I am not wanting to let go of that. Why? Because if I let go, if they do again, now I'll be hurt more. No. Better not to. Now that is what is preventing me. So what should I do? That is the time where I have to understand that who is being harmed the most by this. If I behave like this, or if I hold on to this conditioning, who is getting harmed maximum? In my desire to protect me, actually I am hurting myself only. If you hold burning coal in your hand, to whom will it pain and burn? You only, no? You may say, no, I am holding this so that nobody comes and tries to, misbehave with me. Arey, but you are holding it, you are only going to get hurt first. If I learn my lessons from it, I can let go of that negative behavior or whatever that pain. Next time somebody behaves, I will be alert. That much faith I should have. Otherwise, I will keep on hurting myself. So the question to ask is, who is getting hurt by this? Whatever the negative motive is. Because I am deriving some pleasure out of it or some joy out of it, I am not seeing how much I am getting affected by it. It may be telling lies, it may be anything, not forgiving somebody, it may be being angry at somebody. All that, there may be some kick out of it, saying that I gave a piece of my mind to that person. Next time that person won't behave like this. But why did I become angry? Because I have a certain conditioning. Now that is going to pain me only. I may derive the joy, say I became angry and then I gave a peace of mind and all that. But that anger is going to affect me only. It will have immediate consequence on my body, first of all. I am not seeing those. I am in that blinded moment of being, carried away by the kick of it. I am not seeing the impact of it on my body, on my mind. So if I say, who is getting hurt? Why do I want to live like this? Am I happy with this? If I ask those questions properly and sincerely, answer it, I will be able to push myself to that state, let me learn to drop it. At the same time, if I have Shraddha in Bhagwan, I should hold on to that also, saying that Bhagwan will take care, let me forgive, He will bless me with the strength to deal with it next time. Either ways I can handle this. Or both ways I can handle together also. Or on one hand I push myself to be willing to drop it, and if the mind says, no, what if somebody repeats this again? Bhagwan will bless me with the strength to deal with it. For that I don't need to carry this on continuously. Let me drop. That if I have, mind will be willing to drop. If the mind has come to willingness to drop it, then we come to the next step where we say negate it. How do we negate it? By the feeling bad about that behavior. First aspect, not justifying it. Our ego will go on justify it otherwise. No need, don't justify it. You feel bad, Kiri. I should not have done this. I should not have spoken this. Why did I do this? It should not have happened. If somebody did this to me, how would I have felt? If I ask that question and I say, no, I would not have felt good, then how could I do this to somebody? Now, this is not right. I accept, I acknowledge, I say, no, I feel bad about it. That feeling bad about it, half of the battle is won already. Because justifications will come up too many otherwise. And they do. So that doesn't allow me to improve. Then, when I feel bad about that, second step I do is, what can I do to make up? If I can't make up, at least seek forgiveness. It may be with me also, it may be with somebody else also. I may not have done, let us say, exercise in the morning. Today I became more lazy. Now, that is not good for my health. So I forgive myself saying, that was wrong. It was not good. I feel bad about this, that I gave into so much tamas. I didn't do the exercise. How will I make up for it? Tomorrow I will do 1 kilometer extra. Whatever. If I hurt somebody, I will go and ask, sorry, I am very sorry, I should not have done this. Under certain influence I did this, but please accept my apology. Whatever, do ask the forgiveness. Swamiji, they will not forgive. Your job is to ask. They forgive, sincerely ask, not with some superficiality. You genuinely feel, you ask, I am very sorry, I will not do this again. Can I do something else to make up for it? Find out, ask. That is called negation. When I accept, mentally I first finish the forgiveness. Mentally I ask what to do to make up. And visualize that interaction. Mentally if that is done, physically it will become easy. Then the last step here is substitute. Substitute the negative with positive. Positive, if we have acknowledged, we have already patted ourselves, appreciated, we feel grateful, surrender it to Bhagwan. Over. So, with positive, it will end with the detect step. Negate will not happen, we don't have to negate the positive, and substitute also does not apply. With the negative, that will apply. So, how do I do? Every negativity, there will be a positive aspect of it. Substitute. Selfishness. What is the negativity? Selfishness. So, what is the positive aspect of that? Selflessness. Anger. What is the positive aspect? Empathy. Compassion. Greed. What is the positive aspect? Contentment. Generosity, both. Contentment and generosity. Lust, what is the positive aspect? Invoke love. Shift away from body to the values, to the deeper aspects of the person. Jealousy, what is the positive aspect? admiration. Learn to admire, compliment. Genuinely feel good for the success of other people. Pride, what is the negative or positive aspect? Humility, understanding that everything is momentary, perishable. Mahakuru Dhanajana, Yavana Garvam. It is all perishable. What am I having so much pride for? I may be happy with certain things I have achieved, feel good is there, but ego and thinking something is lesser than me, somebody is lesser than me, or I am greater than somebody. In a moment, one can lose everything. So, humility. So, that way, any negative quality that I have, let me substitute with the positive. So, I have to visualize that through the statements which are beginning with I. So, this negative, substitute negative with positive. How to substitute? Using first person. Meaning, self-talk must become positive. So, if my negativity is, I am angry, I am very upset, I am hurt, I am pained, whatever those negative thoughts are there, I have to substitute that. I am a compassionate person, I am a lovable person, I am healing, I am happy. I have to do that. Substitute the positive. I am a very jealous person. No, I am admiring that person. Now start admiring. Find out those good qualities of that person or appreciate that person. Go and tell that person also. What we do mentally, we have to do that out there. So if this process we do, slowly the mind will turn. If mind is already positive, it will nurture more and more positivity. And it will also be able to step back. This is a beautiful technique of introspection. And we must do this 10 minutes a day. This you may feel maybe laborious process, which is why some major events in the day. Suppose you can't run through all events of the day, doesn't matter. One event of the day, two events of the day, enough. Which are the most important ones? Suppose you have to choose which are the top two most important events of my whole day. Swamiji, they are both positive events. No problem, good, choose positive. But it will end very soon. Then if there has been a negative, then choose one at least. So that again introspection doesn't become a means of escapism saying ki, I will only keep choosing positive, 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 negative tumko dekhna hi nahi hai. No, no. Choose. So this is the beautiful sadhana that one can do. Hari Om. I hope the podcasts are inspiring and enjoyable. I'll be very happy to have your comments and your likes. Don't forget to click the follow button for updates on all our upcoming podcasts, and do share this with as many people as possible. Thank you. Hari Om.